Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I want to go to a burn party. Why don't we go too? Why don't we crash it?
You know what? You could go. You could go.
No.
Oscar's got to build a studio. Celebrities love him because he's like, he's non-threatening.
I am not hating on a winning concept.
You can't, and he can't steal it either. So,
no.
But by the way, that's not my, that's not your job. That's my
another orifice.
Oh, there, that's like, love.
Eat what I give you. Or as my mom would say, come callado, which is shut up and eat.
Yeah, it was. There was a 7-year separation between my sister and I. So I was, in effect, an only child. And I was the baby. And so she spoiled the crap out of me and offered me this. She also kicked Dougie out of my kitchen one time when he spit out a BLT. He'd never had a BLT, and he spit it out on his plate. And she said, out now.
Out. All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Monday. Very, very nice to see all of you. This is The Mike O'Mara Show for Monday. This is April 25th, 2022. And I hope you had a fabulous weekend. We had a good and a bad weekend in the O'Mara household, but I have to share with you right out of the gate today an experience, Oscar, that I had kind of Thursday into Friday after the show.
We had a show Friday. We taped the bonus.
We had a show Friday, and Thursday, I found myself agitated, and this might come as a real surprise to people, but I really don't get that way that often in my private life. I really don't. I kind of cruise along, and I've figured out certain elements of my life that I compartmentalize, that I do better than I've done when I was a younger man. So I don't find
myself getting agitated.
I rage out on the show. My son said to me the other day, Dad, how come you yelled so much on the show?
Oh.
I said, well, honey, it's funny. That's kind of why I'm doing
that. His emotional IQ is
he's so sharp on that stuff. So
yell at your friends, Dad?
And you will, I didn't want to go into the whole thing. It's been a month or two. been a tough month. But at the same time, so when I really kind of am in a funk, not that my life is perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but when I'm in a real funk and I don't know why, sometimes that's frustrating. And so I was not in a real deep funk, but I was just definitely not in a happy mood on Thursday. I'm not quite sure why. With all the things going on, you and I both have every right in the world to occasionally be in a bit of a funk with Rob and everything else. It's been very difficult. Not insurmountable by any stretch of the imagination. I don't like to cry, poor me. I don't, because it's not necessary. There are people that have it so much rougher. But occasionally everybody gets in a mood. So I'm in a weird mood, but I can't explain why. And I have no idea why. Flash forward, we have a great bonus show with Rob for the full hour on Friday. And it's Friday, which is always joyous anyway. And Carl and I are looking forward to Michael having an overnight for a birthday party on Saturday. So we're actually going to have a real date night. So I'm actually really looking forward to the weekend.
You're still in love.
Beautiful. We just don't do it very often. It's always the three of us, the three amigos. And we kind of prefer it that way. But he can be a handful. And so we're looking forward to that, but it didn't. So I didn't understand why I was kind of just tense and agitated. And then right after the show, I have a little lunch. I fast usually up until that point, and I'm eating whatever diet food I have to eat. It's not diet food, but I think it's overnight oats or something like that. And I'm chilling. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to sometimes I'll pull off of CNN or the news and just you know, scour around and look for a part of a movie. And there's a movie that that I really, really enjoyed. As a matter of fact, it's Robin Wright's directorial debut, and I thought she hit it out of the park. A movie called Land, where she's gone through a tragedy and goes out into the middle of nowhere and lives on a mountaintop and befriends this this other guy. So it's a long film, but I catch the tail end of it. And at the end of the movie, he's the only person that has contact with her. It's kind of a love story, but they don't get intimate. But he is the only person that she has contact with. And then he says he's going away for a while, and can you watch the dog? And you kind of think at the time he's giving her this dog to keep her company, which he probably is.
Yeah.
And flash forward, he's gone and gone and gone, and she ends up going into town, which is very rare. She's a recluse because of the tragedy she's gone through. And she finds out he's dying, and it's a just a kind of a gut-wrenching story. They tell each other's real stories, why they are the way they are, and it's very sad. And I was moved by the end of this movie initially. Yes.
I thought you were going into like this beautiful story like Coda, which, by the way, you called before anyone else that I knew.
Loved Coda.
I watched that with my family last weekend, and I was
can't
like,
take credit for that too. Somebody recommended that to
this
me.
This is just phenomenal.
Really great movie.
But really
deserving
feel
movie.
Happy to be alive.
Oh, life affirming. That's the kind we need more movies like
what
that.
What you just described is the opposite.
It's depressing and sad, but it is a human connection, and so. But I react to it, it just over the top emotional, and after that, after I get through that, I write my wife a text message, and yes, I don't believe in sharing the 13 years ago I met my best friend. But simply for the purpose of explanation, I will share the text that I wrote to my wife on Friday I watched this
movie.
She had
just missed her bus, right?
Yeah, she was going to be late for school.
Yeah.
You talk about my wife.
Before she graduated.
No, this is the text I shared with her Friday.
Excuse me.
So I write her because it was just this connection, and I felt grateful that I had her in my life, because this is the story of a woman who loses her husband and her child, and it's just so, and I realize how important that is. So I write to her. I said, "You are my light. There's not a day I don't thank the heavens above that you came into my life. I truly love you, and from the bottom of my heart, I believe the best is yet to come for our beautiful family." That's what I wrote right from my heart. And I'm like, why am I so emotional?
Oh,
why am I
beautiful.
Sharing this with
Janet
with
would
Carla?
Kill for me to write something like that.
I meant to, Oscar, you've been with me a long time. You've known me a long time.
No, it's super sweet.
I didn't always have it. I didn't always have
it
in my life.
On Thursday night, I turned around and I was hugging the dog and I said, "You're my everything." And Shannon thought I was talking to her. She said, "Oh, that's so sweet. You've never said anything like that to me." And I didn't want to tell her I was talking to the dog.
Let me give you some advice.
Yes.
All right? Because I know you love your wife.
I do. But Santos is my everything.
But I will... There will be moments that you're in a really good space.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this, and I've done this for a long time. When I'm in a good space, a good headspace for the 5 seconds that I'm in it, I usually like to share with other people and talk with other people. I didn't get why I was so emotional. And so I text this. Carla calls me very shortly after I send her this text message.
Yeah.
And she said, "You know, I that is just so sweet, blah, blah, blah. I really appreciate that, da, da, da." And as she said, "And now I understand. And I understand why you've been so emotional." I said, "What do you mean you understand why I've been so emotional?" She said, "Well, of course, it's your mom's birthday."
Oh,
and
what?
Suddenly, oh, by the way, when I watched the end of this movie, I looked over to my mom's picture in the corner. And I just was looking at her. And I was just, and it had nothing to do. It wasn't a mom story at all like that. And I suddenly, like a light bulb went up over my head, and I suddenly said, "Oh my God, this is all her."
Mm-hmm.
This is all her saying, "You should tell her how you feel right now. You should do that." And on Easter Sunday morning, when Michael was getting out his Easter basket and going through that super early, like Christmas light, doesn't get a lot of stuff, but he gets stuff. And so he wakes us up early, and we hear this, and it's that morning dove sound mm-hmm. that you hear all over the country with morning doves in the morning. And it, and this morning dove is on our foyer, right on the in an area it never gets. It has to go in through a little alcove, yeah. and it has to sit up on top, and it was just weird. And her presence, for whatever reason, was just all around. And I felt her. I said, oh, my God. I had no idea that it had been my mom's birthday on April 22nd. Much like when I was alive, I had to always be reminded by the women in my life, whether it be my sister or my wife, that, you know, it's her birthday. And I just felt overwhelmed by, oh, my God, this is the person that did this. This is the person who loves the fact that Carla was the catalyst for me going to a trainer, getting into a nutritionist's office. I mean, really taking the bull by the balls and trying to improve life. And she loved that. My mom's big thing, to the point where it used to drive me nuts right up until her 90s, would be, oh, you. How's the weight?
Yeah.
How's the weight loss? It was her thing. So she would have been super happy about Carla doing this, and I felt like kind of that she was working through me. I never get that way. I don't go to seances. I don't go into that spiritual realm, but I felt it. And for anybody else that has lost people and you feel their presence, I am here to tell you that between the morning dove, the movie called The Land, which had nothing to do with anything, and the text to my wife, and then a call to my sister on my mom's birthday anniversary, that was it. That's all I wanted to share. It was just weird.
It's beautiful.
It was weird. I was dying to come in and tell you about it because my mom's presence was very uplifting to a lot of people. Yeah. To me, it was different. It was like sometimes she would drive me nuts. And she, early on, and I get it, in my life, my mom was always more connected to my sister and my sister's family because of the geographics of the situation and probably, with all due respect, due to the stability of the situation. Because for most of my adult life, my my world was not as stable as
chaos,
and I get
chaos
it,
corner. You know?
I don't think it was chaos. It was just like multiple marriages, and it sucked, and I was lost, and you know, and took a while to figure things out. And by the way, you never know when life's going to, you know, maybe throw you a curve.
It worked out in the long run. And the business doesn't really, this business of terrestrial radio, not podcasting.
It's not a good, it's show business. So it's very insecure.
It consumes you.
Yeah.
It consumes you. And you,
it's not a healthy business.
And you, you sacrifice a lot of interpersonal relationships. And there are times where you need to do so, but there are times, as you know, Mike, where you regret doing so. Let me share one of the greatest stories you've shared with me outside of the wonderful times your mother would always like pick up a phone or answer and be sweet and funny and just genuine is when she and you both in two different occasions have shared, and it's the same story, because sometimes stories like they diverge through the lens of the person that's telling it. But when you wanted McDonald's hamburgers, and like any great mom, instead of like saying, get over it, what did she do?
Okay. I don't know why you remember that story, but it is a very vivid story to me. This is how old I am. I came of age in the McDonald's era with the 60s, where McDonald's came into fruition, and
it was a treat
McDonald's
for
exploded.
The spinster Sundays.
It was when we would go down to visit the spinster aunts in and we call it, in New England, a lot of us say aunts, and so if you're not you're saying, you mean aunts? Yeah, well, aunts is something that you get on you at a picnic. But anyway, we would go down, and my father was raised by his mother's sisters because his mother died when he was very young, like under the age of 10.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 years old when she passed away. So these spinster aunts, who never worked a day in their life because they got family money from whatever the business was
bitters.
On her side, Red Jacket Bitters, which was basically booze, they took care of him. So he was obligated to go down and see them when they got into their elderly years. And my Sundays consisted for years and years and years of going to Mass, going to Catholic Mass, and then driving to New Haven, 35, 40 minutes down to New Haven, to visit the aunts. Aunt Regina, Aunt Lila, Aunt Kitty was on the other side of the family. She lived in another house. But Aunt Anna was, there were three sisters,
yes.
Anna, Lila, Regina.
Which one was?
I never knew Anna because she died when I was much younger.
Pretty good.
And Aunt Regina had some sort of medical issue where it was either a fall or where she was just kind of infirmed as well. But that was Sunday. It's not a happy place. Going down to a dark house, and it would be where we would convene because all of the siblings, my father's brother and my father's sister would all, that's where we would go. Mm-hmm. That you came to them. They were the so Sundays, for lack of a better word, sucked. There was no joy of going because I knew I had to go up and go to church, put on the Sunday best. Go to church and then come back, get in a car. And I remember the days that we wouldn't have to go, whether something would be going on or would be, God, like a Grange Fair weekend where we got both days off. Oh, my God, that was special and it was a big deal. But the only joy that I used to have was we would end up going to lunch before we would go visit the aunts. It was either before or after. It was not an inordinate amount of time spent there. If I remember correctly, my father didn't linger there because there's nothing to say.
No, you got to go kiss the ring.
Kiss the ring. But then we'd go to lunch afterwards. And so there was a place in New Haven back in the day, a restaurant. And that's when they didn't have fast food. Mm-hmm. It was called George and Harry's. And I could get, I think, a hamburger or something. And it was dark wood, again, big. Booths, clunky booths. And then during this period of time, McDonald's came into existence and they built a McDonald's restaurant in Middletown, Connecticut, which was halfway between my spinster aunts and our home. And that became the big thing. And I, of course, Fatty McFadigan, I should have seen the writing on the wall. Would have known.
Any kid loves McDonald's,
but we would pull into Middletown and I would look in the distance and I would like, that's a Golden Arch. That's a Golden Arch. And it was just special. So special that I ended up really, the only hamburgers I wanted to eat were the skinny, wafer thin beef patty McDonald's hamburgers. And I liked it so much that when my mom wanted to give me a hamburger for dinner or lunch, I said, can you make them like McDonald's? And my mom went to the trouble of smashing up like a regular hamburger bun and smashing the patty and getting dill pickles that she would put on it. And it never tasted the same. But God bless that woman. She went to the trouble of trying to recreate.
That's so sweet, though.
A McDonald's hamburger. Which, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's love right there.
Most parents
that's
like,
love.
Eat what I give you. Or as my mom would say, come callado, which is shut up and eat.
Yeah. It was, there was a 7-year separation between my sister and I. So I was, in effect, an only child. And I was the baby. And so she spoiled the crap out of me and offered me this. She also kicked Dougie out of my kitchen one time when he spit out a BLT. He'd never had a BLT and he spit it out on his plate. And she said, out now, out. So she could be tough too.
She drew the line.
She could be very, very tough. She was. But it was that was the memory. And I think that the weirdest thing about what happened over the weekend was I just had forgotten. It wasn't top of mind. And then I commiserated with my sister on it because no one knows the way the human brain works. Nobody knows exactly what's going on in there. But when I tell people who have lost somebody that person will live in your heart forever, I mean that because that's what's there. That, to me, is a form of immortality when you've got this person in your head. Now, is it finite? Yeah, so maybe it's not immortality because, you know, after four more generations, it's all gone, you know, unless you're really Abraham Lincoln or something like that. You know, you just don't remember the person before you. You know what I mean?
You keep your mother's through the show, through your family. I think everyone has an opportunity to keep their memory alive.
Right. Right. And I think that it fades, just like pain of losing
somebody.
We've
got tape of your mom. Like, we have so many wonderful. I've been doing this thing lately, especially after my father's fall, where I save all of the voicemails.
That's a great thing to do. That is a very, very cool thing.
Well, we just couldn't do that when you're younger because you didn't have the technology, right?
Well, yeah, and you're not thinking in those terms. It's the great circle of life, and it's what we, you know, what we go through. And you know, the Easter morning thing. And we've always been very spiritual about my mom's passing. We've always thought.
I'm sorry. When was her birthday?
Her birthday was April 22nd.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm. Okay,
was that Thursday or Friday? Was that Thursday or Friday? I'm trying to think.
22nd was Friday.
Yeah, it was Friday. So, it was just a moment. The Easter morning was, we have birds all over here. And I heard, you know, you hear that, I wish I could do the impression. You know, that mourning dove sound that you get once in a while. And you hear it. This time I'm hearing it and it sounded like, what the hell is that? It's like, where is it? Is it in between the door?
You're like, great.
And we looked up and there it is.
Yeah.
Oh, and I didn't mention this to you that, so it, you know, Easter went on and we ended up going out to have something to eat. And then later that week we came in and there was a tiny little feather.
Aww.
And we took that feather from that mourning dove and we put that feather inside the frame of my mom's picture.
That's
just a very spiritual time that we had here. And nobody knows what's really going on. I think there's so much, the universe is so vast, and we think about that. I don't put the kibosh on anything as far as the idea of spirituality or any of that. I take issue with people that have it all figured out. You know, I don't begrudge anybody their faith. If you want to have faith, that's fine.
Yeah.
But
George Michael taught us that.
I do. You gotta have faith. And it's just, it was a weird Easter week followed by that, you know, her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the last times we were all together as a family outside of her funeral was when we were celebrating one of her birthdays. Maybe it was her 90th. I'm not sure. I think it was her 90th birthday. And we were all up in outside of Boston at this restaurant and had some great pictures.
Would you mind a follow-up question that I've never asked before? I'm sorry for cutting you off. Did your mom, did she have a favorite impression that you would do that you know would get her all the time?
No.
No.
No, right? But I'll tell you the comedy end of things. Mom did not like, when it came to comedy, she was a giver, not a receiver.
Okay.
She wanted to share the jokes.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, she may have shared one of my favorite jokes about an old man that is sitting on a bench and a jogger jogs by. I think this was my mom's joke that she gave me. And the jogger jogs by and sees this old man, very, very old man, sobbing into his hands. And she jogs a few feet and she says, I should go back and talk to him. So this young jogger goes back and she sits down on the bench next to the old man. She says, are you okay? He said, I guess so. He says, well, are you, are you just sad about being old? And, no, I've got a pretty good life. He said, oh, is it money? Do you have money troubles? No, I'm fabulously wealthy. I actually sold my company years ago. I'm very, very wealthy. Oh, are you lonely? Is it you? No, I have a wife, a beautiful young wife, 40 years younger than I am. Is it because you can't keep up with her in that department? No, they've got medicine for that. I can function perfectly well. She says, well, what is the problem? Why are you crying? He's like, I can't remember where I live. Anyway, that's a mom joke. That's my mom joke. She loved telling jokes. She loved it. She was a performer too. She liked doing that.
Yeah, but
you know,
do you think you got that chip from your mom or your dad?
Totally got the performing chip from my mom.
Oh,
all the way. all the way. She loved being the center of attention. She loved it. She absolutely loved it. But not in such a way that, you know, where you hear about, you know, rivalries like with mothers and
stuff.
No, no. Or stage mothering or any of that. But she was all, she taught me a couple of things.
Why did I think it was your father? That's crazy.
No, my dad was, almost, I don't want to say an introvert, but pretty darn close to an introvert. I look back on certain things he would do. My father did not like to, my father did not like to be the center of attention, and he was really comfortable writing as opposed to performing.
But creative, you know, with the written word, with the ads.
Very creative with the written word. Yeah. Loved the English language.
Loved music.
Loved performances.
Yeah, performances.
Loved being a viewer, you know, of that. And I now look back on one of the hardest things I probably asked him to do, because I was the opposite. If I see somebody, and you're the same way as I am, we're performers. Yeah. We see somebody that's famous, we're going to figure out a way to approach and be next to them, right?
Yes.
My dad, the last thing he'd want to do. He didn't want. And I remember being 13, 14 years old, going to see Buddy Rich. And we got there early. Because that's one thing my dad and I were similar about. We like being early for places. And Buddy was in like a little lounge, you know, smoking a cigarette and having a cup of coffee with a what appeared to be his manager. And I said, "Dad, there he is, Dad. I want to meet him, Dad. Can I meet him, Dad, 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 Dad?" Because I, you know, big celebrity, my idol.
Yeah.
I want to be there. And my father walked up. And my father, years and years and years and years and years ago, had been in charge of the company picnic at Aetna Life and Casualty up in Hartford, Connecticut. Now, let me tell you, back in the day, these big corporations would have like the summer picnic, but it wasn't a picnic. It was a massive show where they'd hire everybody.
Mike,
and
my one of my tias worked at Geico, and Geico would have a fair every on their grounds.
That's the insurance game.
Yeah.
The big insurance did that. Of course, they had more money than anything, and that's what they did. You know, little did I know that years ago I would say F you to all the insurance companies. But anyway, my dad had hired Buddy Rich.
Yeah.
And it was maybe when he was part of the Harry Jim. Old. We're talking 40s old, okay? 40s or early 50s. And he said, you know, I hired that band of yours back in... Blah, blah, blah. And Buddy Rich looked at my dad and said, oh, in 1953, I should have remembered it just like that. And the manager laughed. And they were kind of making fun of my dad. I'll never forget it because that couldn't have been easy for my dad.
Yeah.
And Buddy Rich was a legendary prick. And then he said, my son is your biggest fan. And he said, well, he has good taste. You know, he was swagger Buddy all the way. But I got a chance to meet Buddy Rich. And I look back on that and know how hard that was probably to do for my dad, who was a very, very smart guy. But no, the performer was the mom. My mom was she liked that type of thing. And she loved telling a good joke. And I think in her little senior citizen assisted living facility she lived in, I think she wrote a couple of essays that got printed there at the end of her life, where she put some stuff that got included in that. And she loved. I'll tell you one other story,
please.
So, because my father had the reputation as a guy that writes, and he's a copywriter for an insurance company. He's an advertising guy, writing, little madman. Have another martini, Bill. You know. So for years, on my 30th birthday, I received a watercolor painting from my backyard where there was this little pond. It used to be a reservoir, and it had turned into a pond because of the hurricane of 1938. That it was just a tiny little pond now, and then the neighborhood was built around it, my little suburban neighborhood in Connecticut. And I got this beautiful painting of the backyard. I treasured it. It was like one of the greatest things. And on the back was a poem, and the poem was about me fishing and trying to get this large bass out of that pond for a whole summer. And then, what's his name? Mr. Morrissey. I think it was Mr. Morrissey. Came down with his grandson, and they came walking through our yard, and they had the giant bass. They'd caught it. And my mom gave me the painting, and then I said my dad had written this amazing poem. And for years and years and years, I said, what a great poem that was. Remember how you tried to and wait to get that bass, blah, blah, and it goes on like that. Someday I'll find it and I'll share it with you. She wrote it. I had no idea that she wrote it. I just had it in my head that my mom had written this this beautiful poem. I look it back at moments like this when I'm talking like this on the show, and I realize that I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to share how rough it was or how difficult it was, because I think that I had older parents and I had a pretty decent childhood. And as a matter of fact, my sister probably had it a little tougher than I did, being the first one. And
she
being
made
7 years,
pay, though.
She made me pay. Yeah. Oh, God, she still
let's not
pay.
Forget.
Yeah. I mean, you know, another year of not going to Maine. Anyway, it's, you know, so long, everybody, have fun. But Anthony Hopkins says, go where you're wanted. That's just kind of the way it works. But no, good memories and a happy memory of my mom and everything else about her life. And she was just cherished by my sister's family up there. And I got to see enough of her. And at the very, very end, towards the end of her life, she was happy and she was had great faith. Mm-hmm. When you talk about faith, she had it. It worked for her. My God, did it work for her. But that presence around her birthday was, I think, almost like her from somewhere else saying, oh, did you forget it again? Remember, it is my birthday. It is my birthday. And Carla, when I sent the sweet text out to Carla, that was the first thing. Oh, you're probably emotional because it's your mom's birthday. Because, of course, Carla remembers it long after she's dead. Carla remembered that. And she... Oddly enough, go figure, 21-year age difference, totally different backgrounds, and she bonded with my mom. And I never picked that, and, Carla, you might remember, Oscar, that the odds were kind of against us when we started seeing each other, right? Yeah. I mean, no one picked us to be the successful couple that we are so far, and I'm very happy about that, you know?
I think I'm the happiest for you because I remember when you all were dating and we'd be on the show before you got married and you'd make jokes about like, you're never getting married again.
I know. I didn't because then I certainly wasn't going to have a baby.
And then no babies. And then we had a baby.
Who happens to be the favorite human. Yeah, we have a little, and now he's, he's going to baseball with me. So that's it. That's my little, whatever that story is. If you've experienced something like that, share it with me. I'd love to hear your stories about that because people like to share those kind of stories where you feel the presence of somebody. I don't dream a lot about people that have gone before me. I dream, unfortunately, I dream about bad stuff more than I dream about good stuff. And it's just special. That's all. That's all.
Well,
I
think there's probably a good portion of our audience, especially coming out of in the depths of the pandemic. A lot of people lost people, and they continue to.
Yeah, so. And so, just like I tell people, those people, and I'm not making some lofty spiritual claim when I say they live on forever.
Yeah.
They live right here. They live in your head. They live in your heart. They do, forever. As long as you're around, they're around. And then when you think about it that way, it makes losing people a little bit easier to take. It never gets easy. But it does get better with time. Believe that. I've lived that. So what a weird spiritual and happy Monday. Let's get back to the regular crap. I'll tell you how I lost a fortune in the casino over the weekend. We have to take a break and, not a fortune, believe me, but everything I brought, all $45. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more fun. The homepage for you and yours, ladies and gentlemen. Weird Monday show, weird energy. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Woo! Do you believe in ghosts?
If you missed the latest bonus show, you missed a lot.
Ha-ha, Donald! Hello, Pluto!
Can I talk about my health now?
Yes.
Yes. You know what happens when I vomit blood? I come to work.
The llama would wake me up in the mornings by licking my forehead.
I said, F*** you. You should know how to make this drink.
This is the worst pandemic of my life.
The TMOS bonus show is your only chance to get that fifth hour of comedy power, and it's sent to your device every Friday. Try a week, a month, or a whole year. Your support keeps that comedy train chugging. Get your subscription today. Click the bonus show banner now at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
How are you listening to this?
Thank you, Jim Amato. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Good news. The temps are warming up. They're right around the corner. If you want some soft grass under your feet, you need your lawn bags. Sunday, that's the company I want to tell you about. They get your grass growing, and they keep it healthy all season long. Their custom plans include fertilizer and everything you need to easily, and I mean easily, care for your lawn. And with ingredients like these, listen to this, seaweed, iron, molasses. Man, I'd be a nice, even your lawn has a sweet tooth. They didn't write that. You can feel good with kids and pets being around. All you have to do is visit GetSunday.com, put in your address, and their lawn analysis tool does the rest. They use soil and climate data to create a personal nutrient plan. It's delivered to your door when you need it. All you have to do is attach the ready-to-use pouch to a garden hose, and you spray. Spray, 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 spray. It takes less than 15 minutes. Best of all, the stuff really works. I've used it. I know. Sunday can help you grow a beautiful lawn without the guesswork or the nasty chemicals. And Sunday is offering our listeners 20% off. Full season plans start at just $129. And you can get 20% off at checkout when you visit GetSunday.com and you put that code in GetSunday.com/TMOS. That's 20% off your custom plan at GetSunday.com/TMOS, people.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
This is The Homepage, Oscar, and it is the gift that keeps on giving. And I'm talking about the Johnny Depp trial that's happening right up in your backyard up there.
Emotions. Now, I'm on Team Depp now. Like, I've gone back and forth.
A lot of people. Last week in the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, Amber's attorney claimed that Amber carried a concealer palette from Milani Cosmetics during the entire relationship to cover bruises that Johnny had caused. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Milani Cosmetics has entered the chat to call Amber out. They posted a TikTok from their headquarters and said, quote, "You asked us, let the record show that our correcting kit launched in 2017. Mm. Johnny and Amber's relationship ended in 2016. Yeah, but couldn't it have been another cosmetic concealer? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but these are the facts now.
Yeah, this is true. There's no way Amber was carrying around this drugstore makeup palette unless she's done some kind of time travel. That was the gist of it. We'll have more.
There's a line.
Up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to get it. If you have more.
Go ahead. No, there's more coming up in Soundtown.
There's a line about a throat that is so erotic that he said in court within a text frame, like they're rereading his texts.
I didn't get that.
Oh, let me tell you. And it's, by the way, like it's for both dudes and ladies.
Like something with the sexy
sensual
time that he was talking about? Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. They're both weird. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. The post-nuptial conversations are just nuts.
Oh, God. It's just so Hollywood. Holly weird. We know a little now more about Bill Murray's supposedly bad behavior that halted production.
I saw this.
On the upcoming,
I don't know
movie
what happened,
called,
though. This is news to me.
Being Mortal. Well, here's a source. A source, and who knows when you get that. Mm-hmm. One source says, quote, "He was very hands-on, touchy, not in any personal areas, but put an arm around a woman, touched her hair, pulled her ponytail, but always in a comedic way. It is a fine line, and everybody loves Bill, but while his conduct is not illegal, some women felt uncomfortable that he crossed the line." Okay. I'm getting no information from that, to be perfectly honest.
I was in a business meeting, this is years ago, as we were starting this venture here, Mike, together. And this gentleman came in for a meeting, and he was with his assistant, and he kept touching her knee. And you could see that she was like, "Why is this dude touching my knee?" Because he was like saying, right? Like just using his hands and arms and just kept touching her. And I was like, dude, like I literally said, I don't know if she wants to be like, because I just, you feel when it's uncomfortable.
Is this like a decade ago?
This is a decade ago, right? You're just sitting there like, what is happening here? It's
weird.
There's a difference, though, between casual and literally just like, hey, it's not 1980 anymore.
And I would imagine when you're a megastar that you are used to people accepting certain kinds
what you
of
want.
Behavior. Another source said that, quote, Bill loves women and loves to flirt. He enjoys poetry and romance. He's always flirting, but it is always couched in comedy. Mm. It isn't clear if he crossed a line. So more to come, I suppose. We might find out more about that.
Find out.
But I'd like to know the deets.
Well, yeah, I don't want to declare that this is just like an overstep. It's just there are clear and present lines today for the better.
Right. I ask you now what you would do in this particular circumstance. If a place undercharges you, are you the type of person who says something? What about if it's an obvious and huge mistake? Earlier this month, this has never happened to me, never even close. I've thought the opposite, mm-hmm. but not this. Earlier this month, a gas station in Tennessee had its pumps programmed wrong with a misplaced decimal. Instead of $4.49 per gallon, it was only charging 0.449, like 44 cents a gallon. A customer filled up his tank with 12 and a half gallons and was only charged a total of $5.64. The customer, Henry DeHart, says he went inside because he's a stand-up guy and he alerted the owner. And he says the guy was on the verge of tears. Because the price had been set like that for 5 hours, and this was the first guy that told him.
Mm.
Henry insisted on paying the full amount and said it's a shame that it took so long for someone to notify the guy because gas station owners make a slim profit on gas sales, usually only about 10 to 15 cents a gallon. It's Big Oil that makes the money, people. Big Oil makes that money. Unclear how much the guy lost. For what it's worth, Henry was buying premium gas. What would you do in a similar circumstance?
As a former and recovering radio promotions street teamer, I would have just said, "Oh, there must be a radio station comping this," and then filled up.
But
and
you wouldn't
rolled
have
away.
Believed it. It would have been an excuse for you to steal.
Yeah, I would have found my moral compass and said, "Do you remember when you were doing 99-cent gas?" With 99.1 WHFS, this must be something going on. I don't have time to go in and find out. I'm going to go ahead and fill up.
I have to be honest with you. I would have projected my hatred for Big Oil onto the lowly gas station itself, the racetrack.
Yeah, no, you're,
and I would have probably walked away saying, hey, I jammed it to the big guy, as Don Rickles would say. I would have probably driven away. It would have been that. It would have been the idea that I'm jamming it to the oil companies combined with the amount of time and hassle that it would take for me if I was just at the pump and I didn't want to walk inside.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
We don't want to take down small business.
No,
but it's not small business. It's like a mom
and
pop.
Exactly. So who knows?
Hire better
employees.
At least
that guy did it. Hire better employees. Or was it the truck guy? Who sets the price? Is it the truck guy that adjusted
the people there.
Okay. Well, anyway, moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, a new study identified 69 different traits that we find off-putting when someone flirts with us.
Here we go.
Then 700 people ranked them according to how bad they think they are. Here are the 10 worst things you can do when you're trying to flirt with someone in no particular order. Having the slimy approach. So things like sleazy pickup lines, or just coming across like a scumbag. At number two, simply bad hygiene. If you stink, you probably, or you've got food in your teeth and you haven't taken care of yourself, that might be it. Number three, a lack of exclusive interest. I get this. Like you're hitting on them and their friends, or you're looking around the room as you're trying to do that. Number four, different views. That has to be taken into account in this land of division. Yeah, so don't open with anything controversial like politics. They say that's off-putting. People won't like that. Swearing too much. Now, when I'd have, in my single time, when I've had some cocktails, I probably would be guilty of throwing a little
language
around.
It worked out for you, though.
Tough guy. Yeah, I guess so. A lack of intelligence. If you say something dumb, your chances plummet.
Yeah.
You know? I could have went to the store. Thank you. Number seven, being too narcissistic or self-absorbed. So if you go over to somebody and you're trying to talk about you, 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 and more you, that'll be turning off.
What about the confidence?
But confidence is, it's insecurity when you're narcissistic. When you're walking over talking all about yourself.
Bingo.
You know? I get that from not people that are, you know, these people aren't trying to hit on me, just people talking in random sentences. There's a guy at the baseball game
have
a conversation with. And he's just talking and talking and talking. And it was like everything from military to working for a major financial name that I won't mention because I don't want to trace back to me. Yeah. And it's just on and on. And I got in the car with Carl. I said, oh, my God, did that ever stop? And it's somebody that's just talking about me. This is what I did. And it got, it didn't stop. For the entire game, it didn't stop. And I got in the car. I'm like, jeez, there you go. You know, the old graybeards, you know, the lion that sits under the tree in the shade. Sometimes he just nods, shakes his head ruefully. lack of intelligence, a lack of being too narcissistic, a lack of humor and self-esteem. It's not clear why they combine those two. But humor works. Hi, everybody. Excessive intimacy. Let me get the buzzer for that one. Very bad. That's the second one. Pouring it on too thick or getting handsy. No. Not in my house. No. And here we go. And here it is. This is the last one. Not being attractive enough.
Oh, that's rough.
That includes how you dress and present yourself, not just natural good looks.
Okay, good.
If you're a schlub and you come in looking like a schlub, it's probably not going to work out for you. So there's that. Write it down. Keep it handy. And now a little something. Here's how to ruin your family's trip to Disney World.
Yes.
I'm glad this is coming up for me now. A 33-year-old guy. I like Pony in the back.
Let's hear it.
A 33-year-old guy from North Carolina named Quincy Campbell is facing charges after he recently tried to go through security at the Magic Kingdom with a gun. It was in a black bag hanging from his neck. When cops found it, he claimed he was holding it for his sister, who supposedly has a concealed carry license. Jesus. But Quincy is a felon. There you go. Boy, I'm really looking forward to heading to Orlando now. So he's not allowed to handle guns, and Disney doesn't allow him anyway. That wasn't the only thing he had on him. Police say when they were asking about the gun, he got agitated. Then when they tried to grab his arm, he pulled out a plastic bag. Of course he did. Apparently filled with drugs.
Oh.
And then he dumped them into his mouth.
Oh, no.
They also found weed. So he's facing charges for that because I think it's medicinal in Florida. Plus destruction of evidence and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. They took him to a hospital to make sure that whatever he swallowed didn't kill him. And then he took him to jail. But the good news is he got right through to jail super fast. You want to ask me how he did that?
How did he do that, Mike?
He had a fast pass. That's a Disney joke, everybody. Thank you, Pony. Thank you for getting right to the music.
He could have used the genie.
The Genie Plus.
Get rid of those
drugs. Hey, no more people telling me that's a ripoff, okay? It just gets me depressed. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with Oscar and his weekend with Pony right after this.
Oh, it's your boy, Paulie. Technology has come a long way for the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to it on iTunes and Spotify. Watch the boys on YouTube. Hang out with them on Facebook and Instagram. And now, they're also on Alexa. Let's check it out. Hey, Alexa, play the Mike O'Mara Show podcast.
Here's the Mike O'Mara Show from TuneIn. Number 2208.
That is unfreaking believable. Full course new.
1 hour, 22 minutes.
Wow. Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, my God. That's freaking unbelievable.
Freaking unbelievable.
Back to you, Mike.
Thanks, Paulie. Why don't I get tired of that promo? I burn up a lot of them, but I like that one. Hey, whether you're going to be the groom in a wedding part or a lucky guest, everyone wants to look their best for a wedding. Well, that's, of course, true, and it's a wedding season coming up on us. With a custom-fitted suit from Indochino, you'll look great, feel confident, and enjoy the big day without fussing over your clothes. Choose every detail on a suit, shirt, dinner jacket, and more at affordable prices that may surprise you. Indochino offers it all, and every piece is made to your exact measurements. Ooh. And you can customize every detail. Plus, they're always adding new pieces, so you can stay on trend and in style. Explore their relaxed yet refined approach to spring suits with their new spring pastels, Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Ho, 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 ho. Indochino suits start from just $429. That's a bargain. Shirts begin at $79 with all customizations included. Oscar has used Indochino for years.
Love him.
I love my blue Indochino suit. Easy online shopping and a perfect fit. And you're going to love yours. If you've got a big day coming up, getting the perfect look is no big deal with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code TMOS at Indochino.com. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Promo code TMOS. So I came into the studio today and I said to Pony, it looks different. You've made some little changes in the set behind you
yes.
today. What's going on?
Well, this past weekend, so there is always, we're always upgrading and trying to up our game here at Podville, and it's always fun, but it's even more personal when we're doing it for the show here. Like we're using the studio space we have here and the set accoutrement to build new backgrounds. And this all came and stemmed from some equipment that we're moving around. We have a custom desk coming in for a control center. But also, I was, for those of you that are subscribed to TikTok, we put clips of the show on TikTok on a regular basis. And thank you. Like, it's really growing.
TikTok.
Internet. Bitcoin. And I realized that, you know, Mike, sometimes we're sitting around like, yeah, I like seeing the same videos with our backgrounds, but we have the luxury to change that and yes. add texture, which most people don't.
It's funny you're talking about this because we've had this discussion off air. And maybe on air too about the video presentation mm-hmm. of what we do. There is a, and this falls into the category of so many other shows that I'm jealous yes. of when I look at the numbers that are just insane. There's a show, I'm sure you're aware of it. It's primarily a video podcast, and it is a guy, you know this, I don't even know the name of it. He interviews famous people, and they eat hot sauce while
yeah,
they're being
yeah,
interviewed.
Yeah. Hot ones.
It's like million hot ones, yeah. Hot questions, and hot wings, and it's sick how many.
Yeah, well.
But if you watch that, if you ever want to take a uh-huh. peek at that.
Well, no, I've watched it a zillion times. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You want to know what I'm looking at from a very straightforward production. Nothing elaborate, but enough of the bells and whistles, like when they show the hot sauce and they put a little graphic in there. That's what I would love. I would love to have that. And then if you do that, if you can accomplish that with this show,
yes,
then it is on me to come up with the hook to improve our numbers.
Oh, great. I love
it. It is out of my brain, okay?
I love where your head's at. Okay.
Like
that works.
For example,
hot ones, I mean,
some
that's,
sort of gimmick.
I love, look, there's no need to compete. Hot ones for the past, five, 6 years, it's been just a juggernaut. Maybe
it's
seven.
It's 20 million views.
That you can buy a sleeve of the hot ones sauce sent to your house and try them. I know that multiple people within even our little social circles have done that. I don't know if I'm not a big, like I've been offered this little tray of like, let's try all the hot ones, hot sauce. I grew up with hot sauce and my palate for finding new hot sauce is not, it's not built around like, I have to do this. But if I hadn't, and I was like a spicy aficionado, I'd want to get into it.
Well, I think he cut his teeth doing that.
Yeah, but with celebrities, it's great when they start
and
sweating.
And celebrities love him because yes. he's non-threatening.
Hating on a winning concept.
You can't steal it either. So,
no.
But by the way, that's not your job. That's my
another orifice.
Anything to get traction, you know. I want to capitalize on the elderly. That's maybe what I'm going to try.
Really?
To,
you That's know? Your segment of the population
well,
that you want to own?
No, no. It's just I need to. Look, I haven't even begun to think about it yet.
Okay.
So give me moments in time. But here's the deal. If you look at the production values of that show.
It's beautiful.
I think. And you just tell me. You go look at it. And I know what you're going to do. You're going to come back to me sometime this week. You go, Mike, I know what you were what you're trying to. That would be $750,000 if you want to.
No,
get,
no.
I don't.
Well,
I don't.
I don't have that. Those days are over. I mean, we have the media might and technical background of Podville Media. This isn't like we're in your living room anymore.
All right, good.
You
okay,
know?
So when you see that, I still think. If I want that kind of presentation with graphics and that type of, that's what we were talking about.
We do
about
that
before.
For other shows here all the time. It's amazing.
You do it for other shows?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do I get? The standard Earth thing that I've used for 10 years that, you know, and then it fades
you get
to me.
Five people running a show.
Okay. Well, you know? Anything
got,
you
got
can do
the,
to help.
I got the pone boner. Which, by the way, I think I wanted to, I don't want to besmirch his good name. Matt Bloom spent the entire weekend with us. Didn't complain. Was great. My wife was here. We changed the entire set around. We relit the set. We moved a ton of equipment around. Tested with Rob Spiewak in Leesburg. Made sure everybody could hear us. Like almost everything's perfect. Working on something was off on the stream this morning, but you know can't get happy. But I got to tell you that. Matt, it's funny because I know we murder him on the show and deservedly so, considering you know, I think he uploaded the wrong show a couple weeks ago. But there are days when I sit here and I'm like, man, like we are
shut up.
No, I don't say that. Man, okay. I'm so lucky to have this Goonie in my world.
Yes,
like he's our Goonie. Like we're the Goonies. And,
I love him. And,
and he was patient and sweet. And
By the way, Pony and I do not have a tremendous amount of conversation together outside of this. We don't have that much
of
a. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If I really had a problem, would you agree, Oscar? Mm-hmm. If I had a real problem with Pony Boy, a real problem.
Yes.
Things would have come to a head a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't. Yeah. I like Pony. Yeah. I like the relationship with Glenda. I like the fact that he is, he's not the greatest, but he's our not the greatest.
Yeah, but
we're
all not the greatest, right? We're all
greatest. We're all misfits.
Brothers and misfits and Goonies. And
exactly.
When Matt and my wife were like, they were bitter at each other because Shannon was like, where are the labels on these cables? And Matt literally says, as we're sitting here, because labels and organization mean everything, right, Mike? He says, that's too many labels. And like, it's just too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And usually the old me would have gone, like, blown my stack, been like, this is the right way to do it. I just sat there. I'm like, this man is so self-aware. And so he understands that as soon as that happened, my wife is like, maybe for you, but for everybody else, we need labels. And it's, you hear them because we're family and they're just, like bickering at each other. And I just sat there and I said, we're both here on a Saturday and Sunday in a world of like, don't ever make me come in on Saturdays and Sundays. And we're doing something we love. And even on the weekends when, you know, things aren't perfect, I think it's a good moment to highlight. And it's a weird Monday show that we're so lucky to have this. It's so lucky to have the team members here, including
Pony. It's okay to have Lovey Monday. It's okay to have Lovey Monday.
And the listeners we have, it's just, I feel lucky.
That's one. Well, you know what? That's a great place to end that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Pony, no, that's good. Pony, you're fired.
Goodbye.
What happened to the stream? What happened to the live stream?
We'll balance things out with a story of a casino visit. Hell on earth. And I think we're really officially done. Except if we go to Vegas. Sorry. Hello there. I know it might seem counterintuitive and maybe even silly to take advice from a promo, but I'm something of a famous radio pitchman. So this is something you can believe in. My mother always said that you can trust a man with facial hair. And if you have any confidence at all in the wisdom of a mother, it's time to stare at my drawn-on mustache and heed my words. Do you need a little more laughter in your dark, secluded, lonely life? Sure you do. You need the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. For pennies a day, the Bonus Show will take you from zero to hero. And all the ladies will be digging your scene. Grab it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. You'll be glad you did, and we'll be glad for you. Buy the Bonus Show and make me smile. A big, flashy, fake, insincere smile. You earned it, Pajango. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Mike O'Mara Show. I am not a monster, but there are certain things that I'm very particular about. For example, don't mess with my morning routine. I know what I like, and everything I like involves the amazing products from Harry's. Mm. I use it all, every morning. Razor, face wash, body wash, the best shave gel I've ever put on my face. Let me tell you how detailed I am about Harry's. Take the shave gel, put a little tiny bit. Of course, it's the gel, so it expands, and I put it on the left side of my face. Mm-hmm. I like it so much that I'm conserving it a little bit, and now I put one little dollop, and I do both sides of my face. Hey, is that scary daring? How about that, huh? Anyway, I love the blades. I swear you won't know when to change them. And how about this? First time Harry's customers can redeem a starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. That includes a 5-blade cartridge, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover to protect your blades on the go. A $13 value, all for just $3. And wait till you try the newly designed handle. I can't believe they bested my original Harry's handle. It feels so good in your hand, I can't wait to shave again. Again, I am not a monster. I just have impeccable taste. Thank you. Remember, new look, same incredible offer. There's really never been a better time to give Harry's a try. Just go to harrys.com/TMOS today to get your starter set for just $3. That's harrys.com/TMOS. And thank you, Harry's, for hanging in there with us at the Mike O'Mara Show. And listeners, buy Harry's today. Support Harry's through the website. Thank you. Speech over. Getting back to it, before I mention my next little casino thing here, I did want to take a little mention, belated happy birthday to our good friend Cappy Pfeiffer.
Yes.
There was a time in a land long ago, happy far, birthday. Far away, where Cappy Pfeiffer stood up for this show in more ways than you can ever imagine. I will not bore you with the details, but just suffice to say, Cappy Pfeiffer, just a tremendous person and a tremendous supporter of this show. Now, somewhere along the way, it's probably my fault, she drifted away from us. And I don't know what I did or said or whether she's just moved on to some other needy person that she could help. But Cappy Pfeiffer, we love you. We always have loved you. I hope that our paths will cross again. And really, thank you, thank you, thank you again. One of our original members in the Listener Hall of Fame. And Cappy did a lot for us on this show. When we needed it the most, way back at the inception of this podcast, she was there for us. So many, many happy birthday wishes to you, Cappy. One day late, I sent her a little happy, happy, which is my way of doing it. It's weird. I don't know why I write that, but it's like, you know, why can't I just say the birthday part, you know?
I mean, you don't give a happy, happy to everybody. So I think that's...
I don't give a happy, happy when I'm going to the bad place and they've got this dank, nasty, gross, underserviced crap local casino that we had a date night, and as opposed to going out to a nice dinner somewhere where we probably would have had a normal evening or going to catch a movie at the cinema, no, what do? We go to Shitville. We go to the scummy little local casino hangout, and it was not pleasant and not fun and just gross.
How do you... It feels like this is a lesson that's learned on a regular basis.
You know, I've done
basis.
This forever, right?
Yeah. But I felt like you weaned yourself off for some time.
I try.
Was it? Did you wean, or was it the pandemic that weaned you for a while?
I don't know. It didn't. No. The pandemic We couldn't go.
You couldn't.
We stayed away when we couldn't go.
Yes.
When we could go, we went back.
Yes.
With masks. Now you don't need masks.
Yes.
Probably should have still worn them. Didn't. Guilty.
Is there an invitation that comes that entices you? I'm wondering, how does this happen?
It's 45 minutes away.
Oh, that's a long drive.
It's a drive. And we know that it's not going to be pleasant. We know that it's going to be like an hour and a half before we leave because we lost again. And it's just a drag. And by the way, there's a movie that is on right now that I watched over the weekend about this vegan lady named Sarma, who owned a vegan raw food restaurant in New York. And she gets grifted by this guy, but she's really not grifted. And it's all about his gambling.
Okay.
And she keeps he gets her to send him over $1,600,000. And it's all because of gambling. And that's at the end you find out there. I just gave you a spoiler.
Is it slots?
What?
You. You go to the slots still? What's the?
Oh, slots.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably slots. Bad Vegan. That's what it's called. It's called Bad Vegan, and it's from the director, I think, of Tiger King. I think that's it follows one of
that?
New York's strangest scandals involving millions of dollars, immortal dogs, and a story of love turned criminal.
I'm curious. Do you see that movie and then you're like, let's go to the casino?
No. We had planned on it, but maybe it's in the back of my mind because there's not a lot of casino. I'll watch a movie with casinos in it and get jogged to go because I like the flashing lights and the bells and the whistles. I enjoy that quite a bit. But it's just, we're driving back and here's what's changed. We are neither excited heading to the place, nor are we all that devastated leaving the place. It now has evolved into a place of, we know what we did was wrong. Mm-hmm. We know what we did was bad. We know that we shouldn't do it. We know that that was money I could spend on baseball equipment for my son. Mm. It is just not a good place.
And there goes the travel team, Michael.
And driving away on this particular evening, although we have certainly left and said we should never go back, we should never do that. This particular time, hey, Carla.
I like how this is a bit of a confession right now. This is...
It is
fascinating.
It's just that it was more resignation in that it was just not a positive on any possible level.
Is it like Vegas?
No, it's not. And they're not pleasant. The people that are there, there's no winning, no bells. Like we came to the decision, right? That we're not going to ask me about facials. Nice tee shot right there, Carl.
Derm glow.
Dermglowskin.com. Thank you. I thought you were working today.
My 10:30 canceled, but I do have to go back for 1:30.
Okay. All right. Very good. I was saying that when we said we're never going back this time, it was a little different, right? It was.
Yeah, I'm still depressed from it. Okay.
Yeah, we're both depressed. It was a drag. It was horrible.
Were you close to winning?
Too much drinking.
No.
And eating and
yeah,
gambling.
We ate badly afterwards. Got home and ate badly. It was horrible. We were both up 3 pounds when we got on the scale this morning.
Yeah, so I'm like depressed today.
In Carla's case, that is a ton of weight. In my case, it's like Monday. Anyway, all right. So we're go earn it back. Go earn it back.
I am.
Thank you. It was fun gambling your tip money, though. That's terrible. I'm sure. I'm just kidding.
That's awful.
We don't gamble a lot. It's just depressing. Yeah. Here's what's depressing about it. You don't win, A. B, no, there are no real services.
Yeah, but were you close?
No. No, it was
nothing.
Over before it started. We came home a lot earlier than we thought we would have to come home. And it was just a drag because we don't stay, you know, for 9 hours there. We leave when it's over.
But you ended up eating a meal.
It was, what?
Oh, Oscar, what date are you coming here?
The second weekend in...
Second weekend in
is
May.
Is that like May 14th?
Yes.
Like 13th?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so
Shannon, I'll book the flights today.
What?
I'll book the flights today.
Awesome. So Shannon can go out with me on Saturday night?
I'm not sure if she's. I got to see if she's coming. I'm not 100% sure.
I hope she comes.
I hope she does as well.
Carla wants Shannon.
I need someone to help me with the cables.
Tell Oscar what Shannon has in store. This is her big thing.
Oh, no.
This is her big. Is this the party you're going to take her to? Your workout party with your men with their big testicles?
Oh, yeah, they'll be dancing for money. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, we're going to the Hangar Club? I like to go.
She's some burn party.
Hey, we're having a party.
Burn?
We're having a party, all the people that own the gym. Hey, you're so beautiful.
Let's do box jumps on your vagina.
So Shannon is, if you can arrange that.
I don't
want to
take her down for fresh meat for all those men.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? I don't know.
Does she need a girlfriend to go meet other men?
She needs a wing.
I want to go to a burn party. Why don't we go too? Why don't we crash it?
You know what? You could go. You could go.
No.
Oscar's got to build a studio. Can you close that? Can you close my little gate? Hey, want to hear my sophisticated door that closed?
Please.
Go ahead. Here we go. Listen.
I like it.
Like a cardboard box. Or if you can see it if I'm coming over to
I bet we can.
No, wrong way, idiot. All right. Here we go. All right. There we go.
No, there's it's a barn door.
It's a barn door, but it's not really. It's flimsy.
It's like an accordion barn door.
It's flimsy. Okay, let me go back. There you go. Hi, everybody.
Oh, there you go.
Right. Hi, I'm back.
Your new studio is going to have a full door, though.
A real door.
Real door.
I sent you the thing. So anyway, it's depressing, and it was more resignation that this is now. But even though we normally get over it, mm-hmm. and it was just so. Such a poor experience, bad service, bad everything, you know, even the band, you know, how do I describe this band? I don't know what the song is, but it goes, some people send it out. That song, you know that song?
Yeah, I know.
But she's screaming it, and I'm over on a slot machine, and it's so poorly executed, and they're screaming. I said, they can't even put a decent band in here, where they're just going, and we left, and we aren't going back. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend as well. Part of ours was good, but part of it wasn't. That's the way it works sometimes, the yin and the yang. I know I'm all over the place today, but I can't help myself. Hey, we've got a good sound town, including more Depp more often, because he's the gift that keeps on giving. We'll take a break. I'll come back with more. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, Ringo, play something hot, will
you? We will call this Mike O'Mara Life of Privilege Spotlight. Country Club Corner.
The dance of the living dead.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in.
And by the way, there are people who literally never leave this.
Don't you have homes?
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show is like a private members-only country club for your funny bone.
You scare up another round for our table over here and tell the cook this is low-grade dog food, all right?
The TMOS Bonus Show is an extra hour. Of uncensored exclusive content every week. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
What about my asthma? I'll give you asthma.
I'll guarantee you'll never be a member here.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Membership has its privileges.
Oh,
I should have yelled too.
That's fantastic. Hey, there's nothing like gathering around a warm fire on a cool evening. And a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove makes your outdoor moments even more memorable. Spend some time with the family and friends and build lasting memories around a Solo Stove fire pit. It's the best. Instead of having to constantly dodge campfire fumes, you can sit back, relax, and actually enjoy the fire. And right now, you can get a great deal on a Solo Stove fire pit. They are brilliantly engineered, made with premium grade 304 stainless steel and a 360-degree airflow system that maximizes efficiency while minimizing smoke. It's so easy to light. With just a few bits of starter, your fire is blazing in minutes. It's perfectly portable. Take Solo Stove with you on camping trips and more. We all have them. We all love them. Solo Stove is simply the best. Simply the best! Shop now and get up to 30% off fire pits all month long and use promo code TMOS at checkout to get an extra $20 off plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns. Just go to solostove.com and remember you get $20 off when you use promo code TMOS.
Sound.
What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Sound Town.
This is Sound Town, and Johnny Depp, again, over the weekend, or perhaps it was from Friday, taking the stand in the Amber Heard Johnny Depp defamation lawsuit trial. And this is a mix with Johnny, I think, under cross-examination, referencing his penchant for substances. This is all mixed together, and I kind of enjoyed it. I hope you do, too.
You were drinking pretty heavily.
Were you there?
Let's pull up Exhibit 500, please.
I'd like to see who I lied to.
You can't say that you carried cocaine in that box?
No, but it looks like it would fit some cocaine. I once gave Marilyn Manson a pill so that he would stop talking so much.
You poured yourself a mega pint of red wine, correct?
A mega pint?
Yeah. Sometimes drink whiskey in the mornings too, right?
Isn't happy hour anytime?
The movie star charm.
How do you not flip over to Johnny a little bit?
The
you know
movie
what I mean?
Star charm is starting to shine.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it happy hour anytime?
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Terrible. This is why. Look, you want to not go through this, ladies and gentlemen? You take the high road. You take the high road. You eat an S sandwich early on in the process, and you don't go to World War III because this is how it ends up. It's terrible. Who knows who's at fault?
So those that are following it will know that there's a postnuptial agreement in place that his lawyers try to put in place, and that's the catalyst.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Mm. Like after the fact, you give up the fortune to a degree, and everybody goes away happy. And then you go
nice
on with
and
your
clean.
Life and you make some other movies, and that's the way it works. Charles Barkley doing some analysis on the basketball game, and perhaps the vernacular was not all that appropriate when he was speaking about the rough and tumble world of the NBA. Let's listen to Sir Charles.
I mean, he's just banging and banging and banging. When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually, because if you can feel their body, come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures. 69-59. Golden State shooting 67.
He's way out of order right now.
We're all kids. We're all little kids when it comes to that.
What I love on a sports telecast, there's one, the late Jerry Remy, God rest his soul, who they were covering, I think it was with Don Orsillo. They're covering the game, and they do a crowd shot, and you see this group of four young people, and the guy reaches over and grabs a boob. And they couldn't compose themselves for about 10 minutes after that because, like, hey, it's a family-friendly night in the ballpark. It is so funny. You know, just check out YouTube. Put Darn
Arcillo,
Jerry Remy boob. It's fantastic. Now we got some reality for you. This is what it sounds like during the middle of a sheriff's deputy rescuing a baby from a burning building. And he did it successfully. The baby was fine. This is pretty intense. And, you know, people do this every day, putting their lives on the line. This is the audio of the baby rescue.
Hand me your baby. Hand me your baby. No. We're coming. Hand me your baby.
No way.
Come on. I step over there. Yeah. Grab this baby.
I got it.
They got the baby.
Wow.
The baby survived. That's it in the middle of it happening right there. You know, body cams, you see all this now.
Yeah.
All this kind of footage gets released. Chris Rock, still in the news. His mom.
Tickets. I'm going in October.
Oh, you got tickets to the Chris Rock show. Oh, my. Oh, what a great place to see a concert or a live show. Fantastic. Really?
Picked up tickets to, because I felt like, much like, you know, after I told my wife that, I told my dog that he's my everything, and my wife thinking that I was talking to her, I felt a little guilty, so I bought some, I said, we should plan something. So this Saturday, Mike, I'm going to the Bridgerton Ball, I don't know what that is, for my wife, because it's that show Bridgerton.
Bridgerton?
Like, yeah.
So is everybody going to watch? Dress up in ye old Elizabethan
don't know
uniforms?
What I signed up for, but then I saw there, God. I said, well, if I'm getting something for her, I'm going to get something for me.
If you're going to the Bridgerton ball, I believe you're going to have to wear a Ben Franklin suit sometime.
I don't know enough about it.
Might want to check it out.
So that's a Saturday.
Ahead.
But in October, I saw there were some tickets left for Chris Rock.
Awesome.
Not cheap, but worth it.
Oh, that's great. DAR, if you come to Washington, D.C., it's called DAR Constitution Hall. It's really a spectacular place. I graduated from there, from American University. Really magnificent place to go. Okay, so this is Chris Rock's mom, also an accomplished woman, very articulate, and very good on the fly for somebody who's not in the spotlight all the time. And she, I don't know what she does exactly, but I think she teaches. So she's no stranger to making commentary. This is her take on the slap.
He is doing well. Like he said, he's still processing it because that's not something you expect. But when Will slapped Chris, he slapped all of us. But he really slapped me. Because when you hurt my child, you hurt me. What in the world were you thinking? So many things could have happened from that. Chris could have stepped back and fallen. You really could have gotten taken out in handcuffs.
And by the way, my apologies for the articulate comment. If you send me an email saying I sound like a 90-year-old person and so well-spoken, that's not what I meant. I meant a non-public figure who is in the public eye.
That's what I was referencing. Fine, yes.
Thank you. Gerald Ledford is an autopsy technician. And we've got two clips from Gerald here because Gerald is giving you all the details about autopsies. The first part of this includes piercings. And I guess somebody in his lecture series was asking about what piercings, when they die, they can keep. And I'm playing this simply because it's so incredibly gross. What do you get to keep when you're on the table? Listen to this. Nasty.
You worried I'm going to take your piercings out and you don't get to take them with you? The only one that I take out is your tongue ring. I remove your tongue during an autopsy. We need to make sure you didn't bite down on it. Make sure you don't have drugs in the back of your throat. So if you have a tongue ring, that one comes out. But nipples, nose, ears, eyebrow, private parts.
Well, Mr. Vargas, what about if I swallow my gum right before the autopsy?
I didn't know they take your tongue.
I didn't know they take the tongue clean out. I guess they chop it out. So nasty. Yeah, it's gross. It's really gross. What about? I got a question. What about gum? What about gum, Gerald, Mr. Autopsy Dude?
Do I find the gum that you swallow inside your stomach? I've never seen any. It doesn't stay in your stomach. I think it probably goes on through. It's when I collect your stomach contents. Sometimes there's a piece of gum in there, but I think it was just swallowed. It's not old gum.
All right, I'm ready to. Thank you,
like
Autopsy
Dude. Big League Chew.
Big League Chew, all purple wadded up. All right, so Yankee fans, I'm going to piss you all off right now. This has always been my impression of Yankee fans. Yankee fans are not good losers. They're not even close to being good losers. I've always believed this, and this is more evidence from this Red Sox fan that when the Yankees win, their fans can be obnoxious.
Do I find the gum that you...
No, not that, the other one.
So he didn't throw anything back at him, but they continued to throw stuff at him. And he's like, yeah, big guy, you want to talk tough from up there, throw stuff. Unbelievable.
But what a way to end a day in a ball game.
Well, the good news is there's enough video to find out who the clowns were that were throwing stuff. Hopefully, they're never allowed back here to watch a game again. Hit an umpire with something? Come on, people.
I think those were the Cleveland Guardian announcers. Come on, people.
I saw the footage. That whole section was throwing stuff. Beers.
Nasty.
It was terrible. And this is what and with all due respect to WVU, I remember that scene reminded me of the scene when Virginia Tech took WVU down with of Michael Vick and everybody started throwing batteries onto the field.
Horrible, horrible, horrible behavior. We leave you today with what's that sound under my house? Oh, I've got it. It's bears hibernating. See if you have a relative that maybe snores the same way these bears do. These are legitimate bears hibernating and under somebody's house. That's where they chose to hang out. How Honey, we have to get the heater fixed.
Like now a cave. New sound
come. That's pretty Please amazing. Come again.
Imagine that, you know. They didn't know what it was at first. That's interesting. Yeah. Go look underneath. Go look underneath the house. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new show. I didn't get to half the stuff I wanted to talk to you about. Carla's not happy with Rofo. She might want to alert him about that. Mm-mm. Yeah, she wants to know more. Well, I don't know if she's going to be floating around tomorrow or not. I never know when she's going to pop in. That's it. We got to get out of here for Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and Pony Boy Matt Bloom. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.